All right, if you take out your message notes, they're inside your worship guides, and for those of you live streaming with us, I hope you can see where you can download your message notes. We're going to look at what is a great gift for mothers. A few weeks back, Kathy asked me, are you going to ask me what I want for Mother's Day? And I already knew what she wanted. But I said, yes, what do you want for Mother's Day? I want to see my children and my grandchildren. Now, that's a bit of a trick because we have kids and grandkids in Northern California, and that's a long trip. And then we have another child with five more grandchildren way over towards Orange County. But I think I've got them all secured to come and make her wish come true, with the exception of maybe one, Brea. I don't know if Brea's going to join us or not, honey. But we're going to meet with them right after we have this wonderful time worshiping our great and awesome Heavenly Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. As you see there in your notes, I've given you an introduction, and I said, all this week I've kept asking myself two questions. Honestly, I wrote this the week before, this past week. So the last 2 weeks, I've had these questions in mind. One, what is the hallmark of a great mother? What is the hallmark of a great mom? And two, what is the greatest gift you can give a mother on Mother's Day? I kept coming up with the same answer. Kindness. Kindness. It is the hallmark of a great mother. And it is the greatest thing that any one of us can give to our mother. Be kind to her. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, in the Living Bible, a paraphrase of the Bible, it says the following. Let's read it together aloud, shall we? Because of God's deep love and concern for you, you should practice tenderheartedness, mercy, and kindness to others. These are characteristics of the men and women, the boys and girls that have given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. We should practice, he says. I give you action steps. He says we should practice tenderheartedness, compassion, mercy, and kindness to others. These characteristics are given to you at the moment that you embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. They became yours to be the blessing that you bestow on whoever you would like to. And he asks us to do this to everyone. But we're thinking of moms today. As you look at your notes, you see Christotis. That's the Greek term in our text for kindness. Kindness is love in action. Love in action. Would you say that with me? Kindness is love in action. The term means to provide someone something beneficial. It means to mellow out everything that could be harsh. Kindness is love in action. It is something that you do. And did you notice when we were reading the text, we saw the word practice. Would you go back and where I've underlined it? Circle it. circle the word practice, because it's a practical help to you. My best buddy in junior high school and high school, his mother was the personification of kindness. She was like my second mother. And she was kind to everybody. And she was particularly kind to me. Kindness is not just for mothers, though. Kindness is meant to be given to everybody. The Bible tells us the kind man benefits himself. So let me give you this morning five terms from the scripture to suggest how you can become a kinder person. How to show kindness to others. Number one, be sensitive. Be sensitive. Would you say that with me? Be sensitive. Now turn to the person next to you and tell him or her, be sensitive. In other words, tune in. Tune in. Become aware of the needs around you. Be sensitive. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, the entire letter that the Holy Spirit had Paul write and give to the first to the Philippian church, and now to you and to me this morning, he tells us, well, let's read it aloud together, shall we? Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. He wants us to be sensitive in order to demonstrate kindness as love in action by looking to the interests of others. Paul says, be aware. If you care, you will be aware. If you care, you'll be aware. Say that with me. If you care, you will be aware. Now, looking at your notes, I want you to say two things. I want to say two things about this point. One, everybody is having a tough time. Everybody is having a tough time. I don't know if you realize that. Everybody sitting around you at some level or another is having a tough time. And number two, I would say that the number one cause that keeps us from being kind, the number one barrier to kindness, is busyness. Busyness. I'll be making a self-profession here in a moment. When I get too busy, I don't have time to be kind. Now, that's a poor excuse and really a bad one. But that's what I have determined in looking at myself in preparation for this message. I am the least kind to my kids, to my wife, people that are around me when I am focused on my agenda, my goal, my desires. You notice there were three my's there. And that all points back to the unholy trinity that I've taught you about the last year and a half. Me, myself, and I. I've got to do what I've got to do, and I've got to do it when I want to do it, and that's just the way it is. And I found myself not being kind. Kind. love in action. I wasn't demonstrating that. So your action step, and I'd like for you to pray through and to carry out this coming week. If I were to ask you, what are the three greatest emotional needs of the people closest to you this last week, would you be able to answer? Well, I've got Barbara here. She can. If anyone could, I've generally found it's our women. And many of those women are moms. Kindness starts with the way of looking. Be aware. Be sensitive. If you care, you will be aware. If you care, you will be aware. Let's say that together. If you care, you will be aware. Now turn to the person closest to you and tell them, if you care, you will be aware. How do we show kindness to others? Number two, be supportive. Be supportive. Say that with me. Be supportive. Now that person you just picked on a moment ago, they're pickable. Pick them again. Tell them, be supportive. What am I talking about here? What I'm talking about here is being supportive in your speech, in the way you talk to people. Proverbs 15, verse 4. Let's read this aloud together. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. What am I saying? Kind words bring life. Kind words bring hope, optimism, passion. Kind words can bring encouragement, as we've learned in the months past. I read a Peanuts cartoon recently, and I'd like to just share it with you as I go through each cell. The redheaded girl calls Charlie Brown on the phone. Hey, Chuck, guess what? I'm running for queen of the day at my school. The next scene, Charlie Brown says, That's really interesting. Lucy has already been chosen queen for the day at my school. She's standing here with a crown. The next scene shows the red-haired girl on the phone and says, your school has pretty low standards, huh, Chuck? And in the last scene, Charlie Brown turns around to Lucy and says, she says, congratulations. That's tact. That's showing diplomacy. That is kindness. You remember how ruthless some of the children on the playground when you were in grammar school or junior high school, these people, how really mean that they could be. They saw a weakness in you. You were wearing something. You just now had to start wearing glasses, and they've never seen you wearing glasses. You know, kids can be just very exploitive. They rub in your failures. They go for the jugular. And then typical moms, right? You come home from school, and they want to know how your day was. They want to know everything about your day. And you tell them, I was picked on today. They made fun of this, that, or the other thing. And what does mom do? She takes you and cradles you in her arm, and she tells you, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And as I have taught you in other messages, that simply isn't true. Some words have been used and crushed a person's spirit to such an extent, bones will heal much sooner than the words that were used towards somebody. The Bible says, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush the spirit. Your words have great power, family. Great power. They can heal or they can hurt. Question. You see that in your notes. How much do you support people with your words? Think about that. Going back 1 week. How do you see yourself? Were you supportive with your words this last week? Were you an encourager? Or did you find yourself being a discourager? Do you lift people up? Or do you put them down? Do you give them strokes? Or do you give them pokes? Do you nag? Or do you brag about your children? Do you brag about your grandchildren? Do you brag about that person that is your partner that you work with when the supervisor is wanting to know about this project that has been done so very well? Do you wait for them to find out that it was you, or do you brag about your partner? When you're with other men husbands, do you build your wife up? Or do you tell them about her negative side? Let me say this. Let's say Father God wanted to have a contest. A contest that could be remarkably meaningful for you and make you wealthy. Let's say the contest started January 1st of this year and it lasted for the first 4 months of the year. And he said, I'm going to give you $1 for every kind word you used from the beginning of the year till now. $1. But I'm also going to subtract from you $1 for every unkind word you use from the beginning of the year. Are you going to be wealthy? Or are you going to be poor? Question. Look at your notes. Do you realize when you belittle people, when you put them down, when you belittle, you are being little? To belittle means you are being little. To belittle is to be little. So to show kindness, be sensitive and be supportive. And number three, be sympathetic. Say that with me. Be sympathetic. That one's hard for you. Let's try it again. Be sympathetic. Tell the person next to you, you know, the one you're picking on, be sympathetic. Kind people share in the emotions of others. Kind people share in the emotions of others. In Romans 12, verse 15, the Apostle Paul was led of the Holy Spirit to tell the Romans church, and he tells GHCC this morning, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. When others are happy, be happy with them. When other people are very sad, be sorrowful with them. When I think of this verse, I think of my daughter Julie. She has a gift of sympathy. She gets excited when other people get excited. She gets quite emotional the other direction when people are sad. From junior high school through high school and all through her college years, she was on the cheerleading squad. She liked leading people in being encouraging and shouting and wanting the team to feel that people were behind them and supporting them. When she was about 2.5 years old, maybe 3, we had moved to our second house. And that house came just with the house. I had to put in the yard, the walls, the bushes, everything. Had to go to a landscaper, have him draw out the plan, but I'm going to do it all myself. So that front yard took days to level, to get it flat, and to get it angled just the right way, because I'm going to put in sprinklers too. And once I have the sprinklers in just right and working well, then I ordered the sod. And I laid out the sod, and I was cutting it just right. And I watered it and watered it. I mean, it was my baby. For a few weeks, I was just looking after it. Every day when I would get home from work, I'd be out there making sure it was just right. And then these holes started appearing in the lawn. Come to find out, there's a gopher. And the gopher really liked what I had put in. But the gopher didn't do anything to help me and was really making my lawn look awful. So one day, Julie was out in the front yard with me and watching me with my hose running water down the gopher hole. And she's watching attentively, and she wonders why I have this hammer behind my back. And as this little bugger puts his head up because he needs breath in the water that is going into his hole, he comes up and I bop him on the head, and I take him out and I put him in a paper bag and I throw him in the trash. That disturbed this little girl. She would run to her mother and ask her about the ghoster, otherwise known as a gopher. Daddy hit the ghoster with a hammer and put it in a bag and threw it in the trash. Is that what you're going to do with me when I die? Kathy and Julie also emotionally are very much alike, especially when it comes to me, their father, their dad, their husband. Because you see, if I stub my toe on the corner of something near breaking, and the pain is obvious from the excruciating look on my face and the fact that I have one foot up in my hand and the other one I'm hopping around on, they like to laugh at that. I could tell you more, but I won't. It's Mother's Day. Family, be sympathetic. That is being kind. You know, when Ronald Reagan was very popular as our president, regardless of what you thought about his politics, he knew how to express emotion. In the moments of national tragedy, when one of our space shuttles was coming back and it was destroyed on re-entry, when our Marines, 200 of them, were blown up in Lebanon, he openly, in public, wept aloud. In the moment of patriotic fervor, I remember watching him when we were rededicating the Statue of Liberty. And as the television camera came in close on him, you could see tears in his eyes. Strong leaders are not afraid to express emotion. On the other hand, weak leaders must always be in control. The shortest verse in the Word of God is found in John's Gospel. Two words. Jesus wept. He wept at the tomb of his dear friend Lazarus, who had died. The best way to handle a funeral is just to weep with the people. Be sympathetic. The best way to handle a wedding is to rejoice and have a good time with the people. The way to a teenager's heart is to be sympathetic. No, it's not giving them the keys to the car. It's really being sympathetic. Everything in a teenager's, the years that they're teenagers, is a big deal. Everything is a big deal. He or she gets a pimple on their face, it's not a big deal anymore. It is a national crisis. But I want you to remember, Mom, Dad, Grandmother, Granddad, if you can remember that far back. Here you were, Dad, you were going to take out the head cheerleader that night. Or Grandma, you were going to be going out with the captain of the football team. And you woke up that morning and looked in the mirror and you had the biggest monster zit blossoming on the end of your nose. It was a national catastrophe, wasn't it? The way to a teenager's heart is to be sympathetic, be sensitive, be supportive. Kindness is love in action. Number four, be straightforward. Be straightforward. Would you say that with me aloud? Be straightforward. Now tell that person next to you. Be straightforward. Sometimes kindness means being candid, being frank, leveling with people, telling them where they're blowing it, where they are making a mistake. But you do it being sensitive, being supportive, watching your language, and being sympathetic. In Proverbs 27, verse 6, let's read this aloud together. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of an enemy. Have you ever seen a bumper sticker that reads, "Real friends do not let friends drive drunk"? A number of them that I've seen. This is a true statement. A genuine friend will say something like this: "You're blowing it. I am not able to let you do this anymore." They may say something like, you're making the biggest mistake of your life. A real friend does not say, it's none of my business. What am I, my brother's keeper? If you're a friend, it is your business. Sometimes the kindest thing you can do is to level with a person and tell them exactly what they are doing wrong. When you go to the doctor, do you want him to tell you the truth? Straight out, straightforward? Or do you want him to tell you a lie? Do you want him to tell you that you've got to have surgery or you're going to die? Or do you want him to say, it's no big deal. You could have surgery if you want, but you can wait. Think positive. The fact is this, if you look at your notes, here's your fill-in. Sometimes a surgeon must cut. He has cut you. Sometimes you must hurt a person in order to heal a person. Sometimes the kindest thing you can do is just level with that person and tell them the truth. It is far less kind to overlook a problem that you know is destroying somebody's life. Several years ago, Dr. James Dobson wrote a book. I like the title, Love Must Be Tough. Sometimes love, kindness in action, must be tough. Action step. Sometimes you have to say, I am not going to stand for it anymore. I am not going to sit in silence. I am not going to let you destroy the marriage. I am going to fight for this marriage. Kindness must be straightforward. Care enough to confront. Care enough to confront your spouse. Care enough to confront your child. Care enough, child, to confront your parents. Care enough to confront your friend, your partner at work, your boss. Don't let them die out there alone. Question. You may ask or say, how do I know when to comfort? How do I know when to comfort? How do I know when to confront and how to comfort? Let me just read it instead of looking up at you. How do I know when to confront and how do I know when to comfort? And as I wrote there, I don't know. I don't. You must evaluate each situation and figure out which is going to bring the most healing. Sometimes comfort will. Sometimes confrontation will. If you're going to be a kind mother, or if you are going to be kind to your mother, or if you're just going to be a kind person, you need to be sensitive, supportive, sympathetic, and you need to be straightforward. Number five, be spontaneous. Be spontaneous. Now that person that you've been speaking to, that other person next to you, speak to a different person this time. Quit picking on them. Tell them to be spontaneous. Be spontaneous. In other words, do not wait to do kind acts. Don't wait. I wish I had a $100 bill for every time I had one of you or someone else come to me and say, I meant to do that. And the sad thing is the persons that are coming to mind, they're talking about someone that they really liked very much, but the person died and they were not able to reach out to them. Don't wait. When you have got the time, do it. Do it. Do it now, so to speak. Look at the verse with me here in Galatians 6:10. Read it with me aloud. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are the household of faith. He's talking about everyone, but especially you folks here in the worship center now, you in the live stream, who are still hiding at home. You know, you don't have to hide there anymore. We got lots of room. And unless you're sick, why aren't you joining us? We miss you. Was that spontaneous enough? As we have opportunity, family, let us do good to all people. Well, you know, there's a bunch of people I don't like. Did you notice our Heavenly Father didn't say he gave a rip about the fact that you didn't like them? He says, he's already told us we're to love them. Doesn't matter if we don't like them. We're to love them. And now we're being told, when we have that opportunity to do good for them, to do it. Can you imagine how many people that don't like you either? And you do something very nice for them. The next thing you're going to have to do is get down on your knees and give them CPR, right? They won't believe it. Circle the phrase that's in that verse, as we have opportunity. In other words, when should I be kind? Fact is, the issue of when should you be kind is obvious. Whenever you see the need. Whenever you see the need, a need. Do not wait, act. Opportunities to show kindness do not last. You must seize the moment. Take it as a divine appointment. You must do it now as you have the opportunity. What am I saying? Why am I saying this? Give someone a rose while they can still smell it. Give someone a rose while they can still smell it. That's what we did this morning. We gave the ladies roses. Guys, just bend over. Take a whiff. Husbands, don't give your wife... Give your wife a couple roses like today or tomorrow or this time next month. But don't wait to give her that grandiose, huge bouquet at her funeral. She can't smell it. Some of you will recall, many years ago, I don't remember what the message was about, but I used an illustration similar to this. And I said, now look, at my funeral, folks, don't bring me flowers. I don't give a rip. Flowers mean nothing to me. Bring me a fresh homemade peach pie or a fresh homemade apple pie. Bring me one of those. But don't bring it to my funeral. What happened? I had an appointment with a couple after church, and that lasted an hour and a half or two. I had my administrative chores to do, and rather than waiting until Tuesday when I got back, I decided I'd just go ahead and do it. I drove home, and I looked on the porch, and there's a box. Now, boxes then were not as you didn't see so many of them as you do today with Amazon. And it's Sunday, and there's a box. Now, having been in law enforcement for 30-plus years, I'm thinking, I'm not thinking it's something really great. So I go up, and it's a cool late afternoon. I put my hands on either side of the box. It's warm. To my amazement, it is a fresh, hot, homemade peach pie. Sharon Lewis. Sharon Lewis had gone home immediately after church. I don't know if she got anything else out of the message, but I'm sure she's glad she got that. And Ken was still alive. For those of you who didn't know Ken and Sharon, Ken was her husband. And he drove her out, and I had that pie. When you have the opportunity, be spontaneous in expressing kindness. When it comes to kindness, good intentions do not count. I've been told that the road to hell has been paved with good intentions. Now look at your notes. I like this phrase. I've liked it for many years. So say it with me. Do your giving while you're living, then you'll be knowing where it's going. Okay? So let's wrap it up. Who can you be kind to this coming week? Anyone. Everyone. You look around you, the people. Take a good look. Are they discouraged? Try to encourage. Are they down and out? Try to lift them up. You just need to open your eyes. How about at home? You look around. Is it possible that this week you could possibly be a little kinder to your wife? Do I hear an amen, ladies? And could you be a little kinder to your husband? Do I hear an amen, gentlemen? Do acts of kindness. Go out and play with your kids. Ask your kids, what would you like to do that maybe we could do in an hour and a half's time? And just be there with them and do it. I just wonder how many divorces could have been prevented by kindness, love in action. What opportunities are there at work for you to be kind? Even in this day and age where we're on our computers and having to do Zoom meetings and so forth, look for an opportunity to build these people up that you can't touch, you can't hug. But at least on Zoom, I have a face. What opportunities are there for you to be kind right here at church? What opportunities do you have to be kind in your social media? How about a friend who does not know Jesus? You think he could have a time for a malt at 31 flavors and talk to them about the sweetest, greatest person in all the universe? Make a friend for life. Tell them that Abba Father loves them. That's the kindest thing that any of us can do. Share Him with them. Why am I talking about this morning? Because the Christian life is to be the kindest life. Because each of you who have been born again are full of the kindest, most loving, most sympathetic, sensitive person in all there is. And He's in you. Titus 3, verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, Jesus Christ is the kindness of God incarnate in flesh, in person, in a body. So here's your action step, family. This week, I want you to do 7 acts of kindness to somebody around you. And do not tell them who did it. Do not hint that you did it. Honey, did you notice the flowers that are over there on the dining room table? Honey, did you notice I put the toilet lid down for a change? Honey, I washed the car. Did you notice that while you were out shopping, not for one, not for two, 3 hours, when you came home, the baby's diapers were changed? I did that to Kath once, and to Mindy. Mindy was a baby, and I saved her diaper for Mindy when she got home, or for Kathy when she got home. 7 acts of kindness. And do not tell anybody that you did it. Let the joy come from the Lord. I had a wonderful, fun experience. Kathy had asked me to change these pictures out in our family room, dining room. And we do that for winter and then for spring and summer. And I changed them out. But I didn't change them out immediately. I'm telling you, it was a good 2 weeks or longer. And she said, "You changed the pictures out." I said, "Honey, I did that weeks ago." She was blessed. But she thought I just did it the night before when she went to bed. So they didn't really need to be changed. Get it? Good. All right. Let's pray. Father, Abba, Dad, we thank You for You. And today, as part of our worship for You and the other two members of the Trinity, Father, we thank You for Mother's Day. And we thank You for our moms. Those of us that still have moms that are here on earth, we thank You very much. Father, the fact is, none of us would be here if it were not for our moms and our dads. And so we thank You for these human beings, these instruments of Yours, but today especially our mothers. We're very grateful for them. Lord, we know that our mothers are not perfect. And they didn't give birth to perfect people. But they have done their best, the best they could. And You used them to bring us into the world, imperfect babes. We thank you for their kindness, for the many sacrifices. We ask you to help us to be kind and loving to them, not just today, but to take to heart what you have shared with us in this message this morning, remembering again not only their many sacrifices, but the way they exemplify you and the sacrifices you have made for us. Father, I pray that each of us would be like your wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus, that we would be kind this week, practicing the things that you taught us this morning, that we would be living testimonies of the one true living God that are sensitive, supportive, sympathizing, straightforward, and spontaneous. For we make this prayer in the exceedingly kind, loving, and action name, Jesus. Amen.